Hi, this is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous S Project. Today we have two stories for you. They are both written incredibly eloquently. The first is entitled The Backward Cinderella Story. My mother derailed from the traditional family timeline. The natural order of things, as a whole, never applies to her. She eats dessert before dinner, and had the child before the husband. Her title for it is the Backward Cinderella Story. First comes sperm donor, then comes baby, then comes husband in a horse-drawn carriage. Then comes husband in a horse-drawn carriage. Using the same logic as half-siblings, I'm half-adopted. I'm my mother's biological child, but my father's legal child. He adopted me a few months after he married my mother, which was only a few years after I was born. The courthouse filled the empty space on my birth certificate under father with his name, and ta-da! Legally, the sperm donor never existed. Lawmakers thought that straightening out the twisted timeline was a huge favor for my mom. The baby doesn't need to know her genetic background. My mother secretly withheld a second copy of my birth certificate, blank space intact. She liked her backwards Cinderella story, and the baby would like it too. I learned about the past, our beginning, she called it, through bedtime analogies. A special doctor put a seed in her tummy because she wanted me so much. I grew, like a flower, and then I left her tummy, somehow. She never explained that part. Anyway, Daddy entered the scene and fell in love with us. We adopted him. I spend a good 10 minutes telling this poignant, heartfelt tale. But someone still says, "So he's not really your dad?" Cue a long sigh, eye roll, and internal mind explosions that scream, "Ugh, really? This again?" The modern world has outgrown society's narrow definition of parenthood. Alternative reproduction methods and adoption allow many people who would have been denied the opportunity 20 years ago to have children. Sharing genetic material is no longer a requirement to qualify as a parent. It's not even a factor. An overwhelming majority supports this extension of legal parenthood, but lack an understanding of the non-genetic family dynamic. Outsiders question the validity of these parent-child relationships, assuming the relationship between parent and child is somehow diminished by the absence of genetic relation. This uneducated guess is the opposite of reality. My DNA plays no role in my affinity for a genetic father over an adopted one. When I read the profile of the donor, I feel no spiritual, emotional, nor paternal connection. Our only similarities are an athletic build and predisposition to acne. I inherited a much more valuable trait from my adopted father, my personality, an exact replica of his. Dad's intangible contributions impact my life infinitely more than the occasional pimple. Our personalities are scientifically identical. We have the same Myers-Briggs personality type. I adopted his sarcastic humor. We constantly bounce jokes off each other. Meanwhile, my unamused mother rolls her eyes. We love storytelling. Our topics range from the evolution of munchkin cats to Zimbabwean politics. His flawed personality traits imprinted on me too. the most notable being a minor slavish hoarder complex. This drives my obsessive compulsive mother off the insanity cliff. My dad raised me, taught me, and loved me. Not my sperm donor. Here is the essential nugget of information. Family isn't defined by genetic connection. It can survive, and even thrive, without one. The limitations genetics impose on the concept of family need to be lifted in order to accommodate its broader meaning. Family is a loose term, which describes emotional relationships rather than physical ones. So, yes, he is my real dad. Not a legal guardian, nor a stepdad I address by a first name and disgusted tone of voice. Just dad. For reference, it's the same name that appears on the number one dad mug. His name is Dad. Without a preceding real, or an attached asterisk that indicates a disclaimer. His name is Dad because he is my dad. And like the first story, our second story is written by a donor-conceived child. It's entitled, The Price of Motherhood. I was conceived in a doctor's office. No, not in a girls gone wild hot doctor edition way. In an I already bought the sperm, so what the hell kind of way. My mother was a single 40-year-old English teacher who desperately wanted a child. This classic mommy wannabe crisis is rom-com gold. But she was no Tina Fey and Baby Mama. The boyfriends didn't want children, the adoption agency rejected her application, and her polycystic ovaries sent eviction notices to their tenants. Everyone, including her own body, told her no. She would have to do this motherhood thing on her own, from start to finish. However, middle school health class clearly stated pregnancy occurs between a married woman and man. The textbook was the Bible. But it was the 90s. It was the future. Donor insemination became a viable alternative method of reproduction. Along with the other alternative methods, it acquired a social taboo. It was considered the legal form of the black market organs. People only became customers as a last resort. Members were anonymous, and everyone's shit was expensive. The only difference between the two industries was that society branded artificial insemination with a larger stigma. If a single woman was pregnant, she knew her uncle's sister-in-law's best friend Vicky was gossiping about her. If a person illegally purchased a kidney, Vicky would send a Get Well Soon card signed by students in her middle school health class. A sperm bank was opening near my mother's hometown, where half of the residents were Catholic. But my mom gave zero shits about Vicky's opinion. She camped outside the clinic like a frenzied shopper on Black Friday. Rather than dreaming of buying a new 40-pound Macintosh, she hoped to buy John Stamos' sperm. During the initial appointment, the fertility doctor examined her pieces. Did the OBGYN just refer to the female reproductive system as pieces? Maybe he missed that day of medical school. Excitement overshadowed her logical thinking, much like a pregnant lady, evidenced by two occurrences. My mom, the English teacher, dismissed his incorrect terminology. 2, she forgot to mention that cysts covered her aging ovaries. Reproductive independence equaled jack shit if her pieces were infertile. The doctor concluded pregnancy was impossible without pricey medical intervention, and unlikely with it. But my mom gave zero shits about the doctor's opinion. She met with her ovaries in the hallway and told them, in her teacher voice, to stop failing her class. As insurance, she decided to give a few shits about the doctor's opinion. With removed cysts and injected hormones, she was ready to do this motherhood thing on her own. Romance novels were replaced by donor catalogs. The donor's backgrounds were summarized within less than 10 words. She knew more about fly fishing, approximately nothing, than a potential father to her child. Annoyed by the sparseness of information and extra estrogen, she demanded to know more. The clinic was willing to dispense extra details for a price. So, my mom selected several deluxe packages from the catalog. Deluxe packages enclosed additional personal profiles and medical histories. Of course, the product of a college boy who watched Girls Gone Wild Hot Doctor Edition was also included. The procedures, treatments, and deluxe packages added up to over $15,000 in 90s money. No cash back for dissatisfaction guaranteed. She underwent nearly 20 in vitro fertilizations. 20, as in 20. Emptying her savings account covered 10 inseminations, but no baby. Winning the National Endowment for the Humanities bought a few more tries, but no baby. Her mother paid for a final attempt, the Hail Mary of the Hail Mary. My mom skipped that insemination appointment. Now, she wasn't just single and childless, but broke too. More money was invested in the sperm bank than in her actual bank. All of her pennies were wished upon and dumped into the fountain. Once her mother started paying, my mom realized her efforts were naive. No matter how many pennies she paid, she would be no closer to fulfilling her wish. The emotional price was even higher. Countless failed conceptions shattered her faith. Her friends were pregnant with child number 5, and they weren't even trying. Dipshits. Babies in grocery carts who stared at her a certain way caused her to cry in the bread aisle. She promised herself to stop trying to conceive. Fuck peeing on sticks. Fuck adorable teeny weeny baby shoes. She promised to stop buying baby clothes just in case. She promised to spare the horrific heartache that followed every phone call. I'm sorry, Ms. Blank. The procedure didn't take. The clinic's phone calls reached voicemail. Weeks passed. Like distant relatives who never learned how to keep their distance, the clinic kept calling. Friends and strangers asked, and they never stopped asking. Friends and strangers asked, And I never stopped asking why she gave up so soon. If 20 years of dating, a failed marriage, and 3 years of flying solo was too soon, then yes. Her cut-and-paste answer was, the universe didn't want me to be a mom. But, per usual, she gave zero shits about the universe's opinion. She broke her promise. She answered the phone. Ms. Blank, you purchased sperm several weeks ago, but missed the appointment and our phone calls. Should we dispose of the vial? The voice belonged to a nurse, but she knew. The universe was calling. She can do this motherhood thing on her own. The price of motherhood had been paid. I already bought the sperm, so what the hell? A visit to the doctor's office, and 9 months later, a baby. She did this motherhood thing really damn well, if you ask me. Those are all of our stories for today. Both of them were beautifully written. And I want to thank the contributors for their bravery and their willingness to share their journeys. I will see you guys a few Mondays from now. This is Hattie Hart with the Anonymous Us Project.